Anarchopreneurs, supplemental episode number 2, a continuation of a choice conversation with Chris Stefanik.
Government is inefficient and should be dissolved.
What government should actually do is just leave people alone to buy and sell freely among themselves. If they just leave self-interested traders to compete with one another, markets are guided to positive outcomes as if by an invisible hand.
It's free markets that are moral because you only succeed if you meet the needs and wants of other people.
One of the hard things for people to understand is that the more you try to control an economy, the more quickly it falls apart.
Capitalism. God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
What is up, a free market squad and the place to be? Thank you for taking an hour out of your week to hang with me. I am your host with the Hero Complex, the High Priest of Propaganda, Nathan the Frickin' Frazier. Welcome to another exciting episode. We're going to continue last episode's talk with Chris Stefanik. We're going to get into a lot of stuff. I'm not going to spoil it for you. I just want to say at the end of the episode, I've got some exciting news for Free Market Squad members, so stick around for that. All right, without any further ado, let's just jump right back into our choice conversation with Chris Stefanik.
All right, so I've figured out what I'm passionate about. I've done the some work on the viability quadrant and figured out where my solution falls. I've looked at what problems it solves for my clients. I've did a little testing to see if it's going to sink or sail. What would be the next step after that?
And this would be point five, which would be marketing. This is kind of where my services, this is where I come in and help a lot of businesses, is if you've got a product that's a proven seller, if you've got a product that is proven to solve problems for people, and you just really want to take it up to the next level, a lot of business owners, to be honest, big and small business owners really struggle with this, which is just marketing. A lot of small business owners have no idea how to market. They're passionate about their solution. They're passionate about the people that they serve, but they have no idea how to market because they're business owners. They're not marketers. And on the other side, a lot of really big businesses have no idea how to market either. The CEOs of a lot of big businesses, they just trust their marketing team to market. And if you watch commercials nowadays, overwhelming majority of the commercials that you watch, you have no idea what they're marketing. You look at it and you're like, I don't understand what the point of that commercial was. So that's why I focus on direct marketing, which is a specific type of marketing. It's basically action-oriented marketing. What I do for people is I basically help them get their product or their service in front of their potential audience. So I help people with social media, how to use social media to let people know about your solution, how to use advertising in magazines, advertising on Google AdWords, advertising on Bing, how to use that type of stuff to get their message in front of their potential audience. Also influencer marketing, finding out who their audience is already paying attention to, and then try to tie in their message with those particular people, get those people talking about the solution. It's actually a lot easier nowadays with things like podcasts and social media, YouTube. It's a lot easier to find out who's paying attention, who in your target market, who they're paying attention to, and reach out to those people and say, hey, would you let your audience know about this? Email lists, also a great way to market. Probably, in my opinion, email marketing is probably the most effective form of marketing. It allows you to grow a really strong relationship with people. A lot of times people's trust in marketing is there's a lot of high barriers in it. People have been burned by products. People have a very, that negative association with sales and marketing. So in order to get people to actually take your solution serious, they have to know you, they have to like you, they have to trust you. Having an email list is a great way to constantly communicate with people, to build a relationship. I think you're on two of my email lists, aren't you, Chris?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so you kind of see what I do in my email is mainly what I'm doing is just letting you know, hey, this is who I am. These are my core principles. This is where I want to help you. And so that's a great thing for email. All the time when I get customers, they tell me, you know, I was not completely sold on your solution, but after 2 or 3 weeks of getting your emails, I really realized where you were coming from. I realized that your goals aligned with mine is, you know, your values aligned with mine. And that's ultimately why I chose your solution over the other solutions out there. Email really helps you do that in a way. A lot of people don't buy the first time they see something. A lot of people don't buy from somebody who's not established. If you're a startup, if it's your first time to market and nobody's heard of you and nobody's blasting you all over the Super Bowl, you really need to be able to build a relationship with people before they're willing to actually pay for the solution that you offer. So marketing through email is a great way to do that. But basically, it's getting your solution, finding out where your proposed or your target audience is paying attention, finding out what they're paying attention to, and then interjecting your solution in front of where they're already paying attention. So that might be they're paying attention to the checkout at the golf store, and so you put a brochure at the checkout stand. They might be paying attention to People Magazine, so you put an advertisement in People Magazine. They might be paying attention to Facebook, so you put an advertisement in their newsfeed on Facebook. They might be paying attention to podcasts, so you pay for a mid-roll advertisement in a podcast. Marketing is basically, where are the people that I need to get in front of? Where is their attention at? And how do I get my product in that attention field?
Right, right. And now you had mentioned that, you know, influencer marketing, other people that are your potential clients are listening to, right, that are that have their attention and getting those people to start talking about your products. So that would be an example of where you could use affiliations with other people, like set up an affiliate program where you could go to other people that have large audiences, maybe have a big email list already there, and say, would you be interested in selling my product? And you could get a cut. And then this would be a way for me or our listeners to then not only get some business, you know, by getting this person's audience, you know, the influencer getting their audience to buy, but also it's going to help you to grow like your email list, you know, so you've got those people going forward for any future business opportunities that you might have that would provide value to them.
Yeah. And there's a couple different ways to do that. There's something called solo ads, which is basically you find somebody who's got a big email list already and a list that would be interested in your potential solution. And you just go to them and say, hey, send this out to a segment of your audience. And for everybody that clicks buy, I'll give you 50% of all of the buys. So they're going to say, okay, this solution most appeals to this segment of my list, so I'm going to send it to them. And I'll get the biggest payoff. And if they believe in your service or your product, and if they have a good relationship with you, a lot of times they won't have a problem doing that. And basically you're saying, hey, I'm not putting any money forward, but any conversions that come from your list, I'm willing to split the profits with you. Another thing, like you mentioned, is affiliate advertising. So if you offer like a survival prep bug out bag, you can go to podcasts like Alex Jones or people that are into the survival niche, and you can say, hey, let your audience know about this, put a link on your website, and every time they click through that link to my sales page, anybody that converts, you'll get a certain cut of you just have to use cookies. It's a whole nother animal as well, but you can do it that way. One of the things that I like to do is when I launched Free Market Squad, one of the strategic things that I did is I specifically, because Free Market Squad is kind of like an online mastermind for people, and because it's kind of pointed at liberty-minded individuals, I went on Brett Benatt's School Sucks project and I promoted it there. I went on your show and we did some a little bit of promotion on your show. I also went on Shane's Liberty Under Attack podcast and I promoted it there. So I picked out different people and I reached out to them and I said, hey, and you, in your case, you actually heard me on Brett Benatt's and you said, hey, would you like to come on the show? But strategically picking out these people have the audience that I want to get my message in front of. And the best way to do it is to get on their podcast. They have influence over their listening audience. And if I can associate myself with them and let them know I have a solution that they might be interested in, that's another great way to use influencer marketing. The last one is webinars. If you can do webinars and you can invite people on and say, hey, every sale that comes through this webinar, I'll give you 50% of it. Go on their podcast maybe 3 or 4 days before the webinar launches and do a little pre-webinar, a little bit of pre-framing for the webinar. Let them know this is what we're going to deliver in the webinar. And by the way, Chris Stefanik's going to be on the webinar with me. So if I know your audience already likes you and they'll be more likely to sign up for the webinar. And you're going to try and get people to sign up for the webinar as well. And then everybody that goes through the webinar and ends up buying the solution at the end of the webinar, I split the profits with you. That's another way to do influencer marketing. So there's a lot of different solutions out there. It's just most people, business owners especially, they don't think about these things because they're only focused on how their solution is going to work. And so they need somebody like me to come in and say, this is how you can get your solution out in front of the eyes of people that actually need your solution. And that's what marketing is all about, really.
Right. Yeah. And that also brings up an interesting point. Another reason for why it's valuable to have an email list is then you can be somebody that other people are approaching you to, you know, get access to your email list. You know, like one of my friends, Kevin Koskela, he's got the Freedom Lovin' podcast. But he, you know, he's his own boss. he has financial freedom and he does like swim coaching training that he has through like passive income streams, online swim coaching classes for specifically targeted for triathletes. But so he's got an email list associated with that. And he had a friend that had a strength training course that he approached him. He said, hey, would you be willing to give me the opportunity to sell my strength training course to your audience, to your clients, right? So he went out on his email list, sent out a couple emails and said, we're going to have a webinar coming up. If you're interested in strength training, it could be something that could help you out in your swimming, help you out in your triathlons. I'll be on this webinar coming up, next week. Here's how you can get there. And for him, he just had to send out a couple emails and he ended up, making a nice chunk of change out of that. And at the same time, his clients, his audience, the people that are on his email list, they were exposed to a product that brought them a lot of value as well. So it was really a nice win-win. That he wouldn't have had the opportunity for that if he hadn't been building an email list. So, it works on both sides having that email list.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's why I constantly go back to I know email is kind of an outdated technology, and people are like, millennials are more focused on Snapchat and Facebook and Twitter and all of these different new bright and shiny objects. I'm focused on email. Email, for me, it's the number one way that I get customers. For most of my clients, it's the number one way they get customers. And I don't see it going anywhere. I know a lot of people are always chasing the new bright, shiny object, the new ninja tactic that's out there. I stick with what works, and email works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've heard that a lot on not just on your show, but listening to the various shows out there that I'm now subscribing to again, as I'm trying to become a student of marketing, a student of online business and the like. And people say that, email is just superior to pretty much any other way as far as the percentage rate that you get from people to turn around and buy a product, you know, just like, and throwing ads out there without any kind of relationship built or anything like that. You know, it's like 1 out of 100 people might buy something, but you know, the percentages are just orders of magnitude higher. Mm-hmm. You've got that relationship, you know? So yeah, it's a definitely something that is important. And I agree. I don't see it really going away. So I guess you're marketing your product, or you're getting ready to market your product, and you know, point six is the messaging. Like, what kind of message should you send out? So maybe you could talk about that.
Yeah. So point six is where I really specialize. This is my niche, which is copywriting. Just really molding messages or crafting messages that take somebody on a journey from interested to buyer. And it's basically a lot of times I use stories. A lot of times I use different templates. And if you don't mind, I'd kind of like to talk about two of what I find the easiest templates for people to understand, and some of the highest converting templates. But basically, copywriting is walking people through a journey of meeting them where they're at and bringing them to where you want them to go, which is ultimately solving their problem with your solution. So if you have everything else that we've talked about in line, you've got a good solid product that you're passionate about, that scores good in the viability quadrant, and you know that people are willing to buy, people are already buying, and you're marketing, you're getting your product out in front of, or your solution or your service out in front of the people that need it, and you want to take all of that hard work and really leverage it to its maximum potential, that's where you need really good copywriting. You can have a lot of traffic, you can have a really solid product, but if the messaging that's on your sales page is not crafted in a way that drives people to make that purchase, you're really falling short. And copywriting, in my opinion, if you've got all the other steps in place, copywriting is that one thing that can take a struggling or a semi-successful business and turn them into a thriving, a very successful business. And it's kind of like the last key component. And that's just the, once you've got everything else in play, this is the cherry on top that really makes a really delicious dessert, I guess, for lack of a better analogy. But that's what I do. That's what I do, professionally is I take people that have all of these other key steps in place, and then I tie a nice pretty bow on top of it and make it a very appealing package for the consumer that's out there. And in my opinion, this is probably the reason why I'm so passionate about copywriting, is because it's been the thing that really helped me turn around. I mentioned at the beginning of this talk, I'm on my fifth business right now. Mm-hmm. My first four businesses, I had mixed results with. My most recent previous business was something that was a great solution and had great response, but I did not apply marketing and copywriting to it correctly, and I did not get the profits that I wanted out of it. Previous businesses that I've done in the past, some of them were profitable, some of them were huge time and money sinks. The one thing that always held them back was not knowing how to market and copyright. The current businesses that I'm involved with right now, both of them are profitable. And the one thing that they have in common that, in my opinion, makes them both successful is that I have a very profound understanding of copywriting now that I didn't have in the past. So that's why I'm so passionate about it, is because through my own experiences and through the clients that I've worked with, I've realized that if you have a solid product, if it's a viable product, if it's a potentially profitable product, good, solid copywriting and marketing is going to be the number one thing that you can leverage to actually just multiply the amount of profits that you can get and the amount of people that you can help with your solution.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes sense. So you said you had some templates you wanted to share with us?
Yeah, so basically copywriting is it's basically just a way to walk people through. People automatically identify with stories. Stories is what I usually use. Journeys are what I usually use. It's a great way to convey messages. It's a great way to convey lessons. It's a great way to let people, or to get people to kind of let you take the steering wheel and guide them along. And in copywriting, a lot of it is templated. A lot of it is, you don't just throw spaghetti at the wall and hope something sticks. You have different templates. And just like in movies, there's templates. There's guy meets girl, guy falls in love with girl, guy has a secret that the girl finds out about. It causes them to have a big problem. Guy makes right at the end of the story, and guy and girl live happily ever after. Or two people who are an odd couple, don't like each other, go on this journey together, end up realizing the value in each other, and by the end of the story, at the end of the journey, they end up being best friends forever. There's templates. There's the hero's journey, the reluctant hero, the underdog that overcomes adversity. There's these certain templates that are kind of the backbone of a very compelling story. And in copywriting, it's the same thing. There's a lot of templates that that people use, that I use myself, that help walk people through the journey, that take them from, I have a problem, I'm not sure how I should solve this problem, or if I should even worry about the problem, to the point where I want them to be at, which is, okay, your solution is the right solution for me. How do I buy this solution? All right, we're going to take a break really quick. When we get back, we're going to jump into the templates that I specifically have found to be very effective in walking people from interested into buyers. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
All right. So from time to time, I will start a conversation with a random stranger based off of nothing but the t-shirt that they're wearing. Sometimes I'll see somebody wearing a Don't Tread on Me t-shirt or an anarchist themed t-shirt, and I'll just walk up to them and I'll start talking to them and we'll hit it off and I'll make a new friend. Same thing happens to me, actually. Sometimes I'll be wearing one of my Free Market Squad t-shirts, or I'll be wearing an Awake t-shirt or a Riot Gear t-shirt, and somebody will come up to me and they'll say, hey, nice shirt, man, and it'll start this crazy conversation, and I'll end up connecting with somebody who I wouldn't have otherwise. Having a t-shirt that makes a political statement about you, makes a statement about your beliefs, can do a lot of things. It can help you build connections with people. It can help you make friends with people that you would have just walked past otherwise. It also allows people, or helps people realize that they're not alone in the world when they're walking down the street. Even if they don't walk up to you and start a conversation, just seeing that somebody's wearing a t-shirt that expresses a message that they believe, but maybe don't feel comfortable saying themselves, just that fact alone makes them feel more secure in their ideals. And if you want to be the person that does that for somebody else, wearing a t-shirt that makes a political statement or makes drives home a message that you believe in is a great way to accomplish that. And so I want to let you know about somebody in the Free Market Squad this week who actually makes a lot of very edgy shirts that come across with some of them are very comical. Some of them are very edgy. All of them make great points. All of them are great for awkward conversation starters. And that is Andrew Marich, otherwise known as Bodhi Agora. And he's got close to 50 different agorist-themed t-shirts on his website. You can go check out all of his t-shirts over at agora.threadless.com. And Agora is spelled A-G-O-R-A. So that's agora.threadless.com. Go check him out. All right. And typically I do a follow-up to this Free Market Squad promotional spotlight section with letting you know about how you can get your business featured right here in the middle of my podcast. But I'm going to skip that for now and come back to it towards the end of this week's episode. So, oh man, my voice keeps cracking. I've been sick for a while, if you can't tell. We're just going to jump right back in. We're just going to jump right back into this week's episode.
Let me ask you something. Haven't you ever been tempted to just break the rules and finally
get back at my big faceless corporate bosses for making me feel so small and insignificant?
Look at this, Marge. $58 and all of it profit. I'm the smartest businessman in the world.
Government can print money, but it's the entrepreneurs who really make the money.
Why don't you guys just make your cars cleaner and nicer and try to be better to your customers so that you can compete with Handycar's popularity in the marketplace?
Shut up and take my money.
All right, Free Market Squad, welcome back to the show. I am your host, Nathan Frazier, the high priest of propaganda over in the Free Market Squad. Today, we've been talking with Chris Stefanik. Before we went into the break, I was mentioning how there are templates for storytelling. There are also templates for writing sales copy, and I'm going to jump into some of my favorite short form sales copy templates. So, without any further ado, let's jump back into this choice conversation with Chris Stefanik. Probably one of the most common is called Problem Agitate Solution. Basically, what problem agitate solution is you start off the story by addressing the problem that the person is facing. So you say, hey, have you ever been here? I remember when I was here, and this is the problem that I saw, or this is the problem that I had. You immediately identify, we both shared this problem, or my clients shared the same problem that you have. And a lot of times just explaining the problem isn't enough to get people to take action. A lot of times, if the problem is kind of blurry in their peripheral vision, I like to think of it as like a monster in the room. They see it. It's in their peripheral vision. It's kind of blurry. It's kind of fuzzy. They know that there's a problem there, but they don't really know how bad the problem can get. They don't really know if there's even a solution for the problem. So they just kind of ignore it. That's kind of like a human nature. What was it? There's a quote about government. People are more likely to suffer a bad situation than they are to act and actually solve the situation. That's a horrible misquote, but that's why people put up with abusive tyrants, is because we're more likely to suffer through a problem than actually try and find the solution to the problem. So what I like to do in my copywriting is I identify the problem. I let them know, hey, if you're suffering from this problem, you need to pay attention. But then I'm going to agitate. So it's problem and then agitate. I'm going to let you know how bad the problem can get. I'm going to detail how bad the problem actually is. So I'm going to take it out of the realm of this fuzzy, blurry monster in your peripheral vision. I'm going to say, hey, look over here. This monster's got fangs with blood on them. It's got venom. It's got claws. It's looking right at you. Its eyes are bright red. You can tell that if you don't do something right now, your situation's going to get a lot worse. And once you've agitated that problem and you've really let people know how bad the problem actually is, how bad the problem can get, and then offer the solution, say, okay, now that you understand why you need to take action, here's the action that I believe that you should take. And then paint a solution for them. Let them know there is a way to solve this problem. Right over there, there's a shotgun, and there's a 12-gauge shotgun, and there's some shells. And all you have to do is load those shells into the shotgun, point it at the monster, and that's my solution. And so now you've gone from being kind of aware that there's a problem, but you're not doing anything about it, to you really understand what the problem is, and you really understand the importance of solving the problem right now, or how bad it's going to get if you don't solve it. And then somebody says, okay, here's the solution. Here's my proposed solution. Load the shells in the shotgun, point it at the monster, and pull the trigger. And so that's the problem agitation solution. The other one that I like to use, because a lot of people say, oh, that's fear-mongering. I don't want to use fear-mongering to convert my leads into customers. The other one that I like to use is Promise, Uniqueness, and Git. I call it the PUG template. And this is basically, I start off by making a promise. And you'll see this a lot of times with like consumer goods. If you go to Staur, which is a jewelry company, they use this template over and over again. It's basically making a promise. If you buy this watch, you'll have this status. You'll have awesome adventures while you're diving because it's a great diving watch. You'll have the girl look at you differently when you take her out to drinks because she'll see how classy you are because you have this watch. So it's making the promise of elevated status, of a good vacation, getting your problem solved. So you make a promise and then you say, this is what's unique about my solution. So you promise to solve the problem and then you tell them what's unique about your solution. So back to the tennis ball reference, the promise would be you'll have a great day playing fetch with your dog. What's unique about my tennis ball is that it's orange. So not only will you have a great time, but you'll never lose the tennis ball. Or if it's like a higher end item, not only will you be able to tell time, but our watches are unique because each hand on the watch is hand painted by a Swiss watchmaker. Every single gear in there is ground by hand to perfection by a guy who's been making watches in his family for the last 50 years. And when you buy this watch, you know that it's pristine. It comes with the Rolex logo, so people will automatically know that you're of high status. It's what makes it unique. So you get the promise, you deliver what's unique about your promise or your solution, and then you tell them how to get it. So to get this unique solution, to get the fulfillment of this promise, all you have to do is fill out your name and your address and click Get Now and make 5 easy installments of $19.95 or whatever it is. So you make the promise, you tell them what's unique about your promise, and then you tell them how to get your unique solution. So those are the two most basic templates for writing copy: problem, agitate, solution, and promise, uniqueness, and get. There's obviously a lot more in-depth ways to write copy, but that's kind of what copywriting is all about, is taking people from where they're at, where they might be interested in the solution, and walking them through a process that gets them excited about actually converting and actually taking advantage of the solution that you offer.
So if copywriting is something that I'm looking to implement, right? I've got all these other things lined up and I'm like, all right, now I need some good copy. Would you recommend somebody that's starting off like myself to go out and hire someone to go read some books, take some courses and learn, you know, try their own hand at it? What do you think would be the best way to start off with this portion?
So a little bit of both. Copywriting is a very intensive area of study. It's something that I've been studying for about 2.5 years now. I'm just now at the level where I feel very confident about it. I feel like I can take pretty much any, I'm really good with sales letters. I'm really good with email copy. I'm not so good with consumer marketing copy, or consumer goods copy. But different copywriters are going to have their specialties. Some copywriters are going to be able to knock it out of the park if they're writing copy for like a course, but if they try to write copy for a sports car, they're not going to do so well. So really what you need, if you're a business person, I wouldn't say that you need to do all of your copywriting yourself, but I would say that you need to understand what differentiates good copy from bad copy. A lot of copywriters out there will sell very subpar copywriting, and because the business owner doesn't understand what differentiates good copy from bad copy, they'll just take it and run with it and not understand why they're not getting the results that they desire. This is why most of the advertising for big business out there just totally sucks. It's not action oriented. There's no direct response tied to the advertising. It's mainly just about branding. So a lot of the advertising agencies out there are getting paid for really, really just horrible work. And a lot of the small businesses are kind of getting hoodwinked the same way that a lot of the big businesses are. So as a business owner, I think that every business owner should have at least a cursory or a surface level understanding of what makes good copy versus what makes bad copy. And if I was to tell people, you know, what the key things to look for are, number one, make sure that at the end of every single piece of copy, there's a call to action. Make sure that there is. It's not just telling about how awesome the product is or telling about how great the company is, but there's actually a reason for somebody to take action at the end. The other thing that's really important in copywriting is to make sure that you're not focusing just on the features, but you're actually focusing on the benefits. So if you're selling a house, you're not talking about the 4-car garage. You're talking about all the extra space that you're going to be able to set up your man cave or your workshop in there. You're not talking about the fenced-in backyard. You're talking about the privacy that you're going to get. You're not talking about the back porch. You're talking about the barbecues that you can have with your friends and family. You're not talking about the four walls and the roof. You're talking about the home that you can make for your family. So don't sell the four walls. Sell the home. Don't sell the features, sell the benefits. And a lot of copywriters, especially subpar copywriters, are going to focus on the features, but you really want to sell the benefits. So it's good for a business owner to understand what separates good copy from bad copy. But I'm also a big believer in the being a student of economics, I'm a big believer in the division of labor. Focus on what you're good at, which is creating a solid product, and delegate what you're not so good at, which most businesses are not good at marketing. Most businesses are not good at copywriting, or most business owners, at least. So if you're not a very effective copywriter, then delegate that out to somebody. Pay somebody who is, but make sure that you understand what separates or what makes somebody a good copywriter versus a really ineffective copywriter.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So I guess from that, with that in mind, if you're wanting to find good people to copyright, what's the way to go about that? And if you're wanting to educate yourself some so that you can tell when that you found a good copywriter, that they're not just pushing a inferior product on you, what are some of the ways to go about that?
So finding copywriters is kind of difficult. There's places like the Warrior Forum, which you're going to get mixed results going there. I would say definitely avoid going to places like Fiverr or Odesk. You're not going to find, even like Elance, you're probably not going to find good copywriters there. You're going to find the bottom of the barrel copywriters that are willing to work for the lowest amount of money possible. So avoid those type of things. I would say if you're looking for a good copywriter, look at their work. Look at a lot of the better copywriters are actually, they have blogs. They're talking about their theories on copywriting. They're talking about what makes a good copywriter, what makes a bad copywriter. They're sharing their knowledge freely. And when you're looking to hire a copywriter, some things to keep in mind: a good copywriter is going to want to see who your list is. They're going to want to know who you're targeting. They're going to want to know who your demographic is. They're going to want to know if you have a control. Basically, a control is the copy that you're already using, the sales copy that you're already using. They're going to want to look at that. They're going to want to see the conversion rates for it. They're really going to want to have discussions with you about the features and the benefits of your product. They're going to want to talk to you about what you're already doing. They're going to ask you a lot of questions, and they're going to have where they're more, they're going to be able to say, this is where I'm better at writing copy. This is where I don't excel at writing copy. And they're going to be able to have examples of how they specialize in your specific solution. So like I said earlier, some people I can write really good copy for solution oriented things like courses and software as a service. I'm really good at writing copy for that type of stuff. But if somebody said, hey, I need you to write me some really great sales copy for this new orange tennis ball or for this sports car, it would be a little bit more difficult for me. Or if somebody said, I need some sales copy written for my dentist office, that would be a little bit more difficult for me. So a good copywriter is going to know their strengths and their weaknesses. They're also going to want to see what your results have been so far. They're going to want to know who you're targeting. They're going to want to know some really in-depth stuff rather than just saying, what are you going to pay me to write this sales copy? If the first question they ask is, what are you going to pay me? That's probably a pretty good indication that they're not a very good copywriter.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. All right. Excellent. Excellent. So you led us through all these different points. You know, there's finding something that you're passionate about, you know, evaluating your target market, looking at the problems that the product is going to solve for people, testing it, marketing it, and then messaging it, right? The copywriting itself. With that in mind, I guess, what are your like closing thoughts for my audience? Or more specifically for me, because I'm ready to dive in and use this stuff.
Yeah. Basically, if you have these 6 points in line, it's my opinion and it's backed up by my experience. If you have these 6 points in line, your probability of success is just leaps and bounds above what most people's success rates are going to be. So really, I would just recommend go back and listen to this episode again and mine as many of the gold nuggets out of it that you can. I do a podcast, Anarchopreneur, The Nathan Fraser Show. You can find that at NathanFraserShow.com, and that's Fraser, F-R-A-S-E-R, NathanFraserShow.com. My podcast pretty much consistently deals with most of this type of stuff. I give my insights from my own business. I also bring on and interview people that are vastly more knowledgeable than I am. I also have a website called freemarketsquad.com. I'm about to completely relaunch that. And this discussion that we've had today is actually going to be kind of condensed into a mini course as one of the main lead magnets there. But check out freemarketsquad.com. And through there, you'll actually find out how to join the online Facebook group, which is also freemarketsquad.com. And basically, there is just a bunch of liberty-loving business-type people, people that own their own businesses, entrepreneurs, marketers. There's a lot of marketers in the group now as well. And that's another great resource. There's some really good copywriters and marketing consultants beyond just myself. So I'm here to promote myself, but if you go to the Free Market Squad group, there's a lot of people in there that I would say are even better than me. So if you're looking for some good marketing consulting or you're looking for some solid copywriters, that's a great resource as well as the Free Market Squad. So NathanFraserShow.com and FreeMarketSquad.com are the places that I would recommend people go to if they found this conversation enlightening and they want to get more. Those are the two places that I would send them.
Great, great. Yeah, and I can also make a plug for Free Market Squad. I'm a member there, and it's definitely a valuable place. If you have questions, you can pose it, and people are so friendly and knowledgeable and will help you out. So really, really good stuff. I'm so glad that you created that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're obviously one of the people that's a great resource there. And like I said, I try to be the main cultivator in that community, but I'm not too proud to admit that there's a lot of people that are way more successful, and there's a lot of people in there that can offer a lot more than what I can offer. So Yeah, just I got so much love for that community that I just can't recommend people go and check that out enough.
Great. All right, well, this has been fun, Nathan. I'm so glad that you came on the show.
Yeah, it's always a blast having conversations with you, so I'm glad you invited me.
Yeah, and thank you so much. This has been really valuable for me, and I'm sure for my audience as well. And we'll have to do this again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. I need to get you on my podcast next.
Sounds good. I would love to.
All right, cool. Thanks, Chris.
All right, you're welcome. Take care.
You too. All right, Free Market Squad. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Chris Stefanik. And so a couple things I want to let you know about. First of all, I just launched. Today is the first day of 2017. And at midnight this morning, I launched the new freemarketsquad.com website. Just a wealth of information there. The Church of the Invisible Hand blog is now available over at the Free Market Squad website. Also, a huge list of resources that I use for my businesses. And some exciting news is that I've got some free courses that I'm working on. One of them is actually a revamped version of what you heard in this and the previous podcast. I took the lesson that was taught in this podcast and I've turned it into, or I'm in the middle of turning it into a full online course, a webinar series that I'm going to be putting on. That you can sign up for over at Free Market Squad. If you want to get involved with that, and not if, how could you not want to get involved with that? Basically, here's the point. Freemarketsquad.com is going to be a huge resource for liberty-minded entrepreneurs going into 2017. I am very confident of that, and I'm super excited about it. So you can find out how to get signed up for that course. You can find out, you can discover all the different blog posts that are up there. You can discover all the different resources that I use to put my businesses together. And you can find out how to access the Free Market Squad online community by going over to freemarketsquad.com. Voice keeps cracking, man. Last week I did not put out an episode because I was sick as crap. And so that's why this one was a week late. I do apologize for that. I'm still trying to fight off this congestion, head cold, sore throat that I've got, and that's why my voice keeps cracking. I am not going through a second stage of puberty. But yeah, thank you for listening. Like I said, this lesson that you just heard is going to be repurposed into a full online course. Plus, I've got a lot more material that I'm going to add on to this. It's called the Success Formula. And if you want to find out more about that, just head over to freemarketsquad.com. There's the ability to access and sign up for that course once it's available right there on the homepage, freemarketsquad.com. How many times can I say that? Love you guys. I'm out of here. Deuces.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
Are you a liberty-minded entrepreneur, small business owner, agorist, or freelancer? Do you ever struggle in your business and feel like you're all alone in the world? Can you imagine how great it would be if there were a community of freedom-loving business people just waiting to connect with you? Can you keep a secret? There is such a community. Free Market Squad is the online mastermind group for people who are passionate about freedom and success in life. Access to a mastermind group is probably one of the most valuable things you could have in your life, and membership in the Free Market Squad is absolutely free. If you have a Facebook account and you want more information on how to join the Free Market Squad, head on over to www.freemarketsquad.com. That's freemarketsquad.com.